I want you to take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter 6. Find Galatians 6, and would you stand with me, please? Galatians chapter 6, find verse number 11. Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says, Galatians 6:11, "Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desired to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Verse number 14 is where we get the whole premise of today's sermon. Notice it said, "Save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Multiple crucifixions. Father, bless us now. Take the sermon and use it to get glory to thyself. Help us all to take a moment and think about the importance of the crucifixion. Dear Jesus, reach down from heaven. Squeeze our minds and our hearts. I pray that you would be glorified in what is said and done in the next few minutes in this building, please. Help people to pay attention. Those that are uninterested, I pray that they would just be kind enough not to interrupt the people around them. And God, I pray that everybody will have a touch from heaven in regard to the sermon today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. It said, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." In verse 12 and 13 in this passage of Scripture, we see the Apostle Paul, he's strongly rebuking those who were not willing to stand for the cross of Jesus. These people did not want to suffer persecution for their association with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You heard it as our choir did a fantastic job singing a song, but they sang about the blood of Jesus Christ. The young ladies that just did a wonderful job singing a song, they sang about Calvary. They sang about our salvation and the crucifixion and what it took to get us this thing called salvation. Folks, there were people in history past that would look forward to a place called Calvary, a place where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would be crucified. Those that were prior, those that were before the crucifixion, would look forward to it coming someday. Then there would be people that would be alive at the time of the crucifixion. There were people that actually watched Jesus hanging on that cross. There were people that walked up lonely Golgotha to the place called Calvary, the place of a skull, and they looked at that blood flowing down. They looked at the Savior. They looked at that crown of thorns. They seen that they had plucked his beard. Then, you and I, today, we look back. We look back and we're reminded, we're told the story in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, throughout the entire Bible. The book of Psalms so well depicts the crucifixion and the agony and the pain and the terror that was placed upon Jesus Christ so you and I could be born again. So some from history past look forward to the crucifixion. Some got to watch the crucifixion. You and I, we look back at that crucifixion. It's a central point in what we believe, what we are, and everything that will come for your future was based on that place called Calvary, that Jesus, the Son of God, that thing that's called the crucifixion. And in the Apostle Paul's day, there were some that were not wanting to associate with that crucifixion. It had not been long ago that Jesus had been crucified, and some didn't want to associate with that crucifixion. And in verse 14, Paul is taking a very strong stand. He said, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." So Paul said, we need to make sure that the crucifixion is, hey, it's in the bullseye of our thinking. It's in the bullseye of our Christianity. And then he not only reminds these people, don't you be ashamed of the crucifixion. He actually then mentions not only the crucifixion of Jesus, he mentions the crucifixion of the world. Hear what he said? He said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's Jesus' crucifixion. Then it says, by whom the world is crucified unto me. There's a second crucifixion. Then there's a comma, and he says, and I unto the world. He said, Jesus was crucified. I'm not ashamed of that. The world should be crucified in my life. I'm not ashamed of that. And I should be crucified unto the world. Three crucifixions mentioned in one verse. Jesus crucified, crucified the world, and then I should crucify myself and not be ashamed of doing so. Three crucifixions. I call the sermon this morning multiple crucifixions. Let's start out, of course, with the very first one that Paul mentions here. Christ crucified. It said the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was not afraid to talk about the crucifixion. He called Jesus his Lord. And that is Paul saying, my Lord was crucified. And just so you know, folks, it was not the world. It was not the lost people that crucified Jesus Christ. It was the religious left. It was the people that went around talking Jesus but didn't live Jesus. It was people that didn't believe the Word of God, but they were religious people. They're the ones that put him on that cross. They're the ones that made that choice for the crucifixion. And Paul said this. He said, I am not ashamed of my connection and my commitment to the crucified one. Do you know that they're coming out with songbooks, and they have been for years now. They're coming out with songbooks or hymnals for in churches, and they're wanting to take the subject of the blood of Jesus Christ out of them because they say that's too gory. Oh, that's so nasty. Well, yes, it was gory, and yes, it was nasty, but what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Hey, and we get a cleansing from that blood that was shed for us. It is gory. It was terrible what they did to Jesus Christ. But we are not to ignore it. It is a part of the history of what Christianity is. Without that blood, without that crucifixion, you and I would have never had our ticket paid for by Jesus to get us to heaven. They say, well, it's far too, talking about the blood in the songbook, it's far too graphic. Then they turn around and watch junk on television that is as graphic as all get out. Don't tell me it's just too graphic, the kind of trash that you'll bring into your home from Hollywood, and then turn around and tell us the blood in the songbook or a preacher that preaches on the blood and the terrible crucifixion is out of order. It's not out of order. It's appropriate. And Paul said, I'm not going to be ashamed of my association and my connection to the crucified one and the crucifixion. Paul said, I glory in the cross. I glory in the crucifixion. And Paul was not saying, I'm happy about what happened to Jesus. He was saying, glory to God, Jesus died. Glory to God for that place called Calvary. Glory to God for that blood that flowed down. Glory. He was uplifting Jesus Christ in the suffering of Jesus Christ. Now, I think Paul was saying, I'm going to brag on my dad, which was Jesus was God come in the flesh. And Paul said, I am not going to be ashamed of that crucifixion. I'm not going to be ashamed of that cross. I'm not going to be ashamed of that blood. I'm not going to be ashamed to say that it's a big deal. I'm not going to be ashamed of that. It shows the truth of the greatness of the one that we serve. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:19. It says this, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Here it's talking about, what is the reconciling? That's the process that Jesus went through to help you and I get to God. But it says to wit that God was in Christ. You understand that Jesus Christ is God. And I know that we have what we call the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But you need to understand something. When Jesus walked the face of this earth, that was God the Son, but God the Son was every bit God the Father, and God the Father is every bit God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is every bit both of the other two. And when somebody died on a cross, you need to stop and realize it is God that died for us. God, through the person of Jesus Christ, hung on a cross and was crucified. And you're never to be ashamed of that. Hold your head high, Christian. We serve the risen one. Our God, in the person of Jesus Christ, hung on a cross and died for us. And Paul said, there's some of you, you're cowering. You're backing down about the crucifixion. That was God that hung on that cross. That was the King of the Jews. That was our Savior. Don't you be apologetic for that. It showed the great love that Christ had for us, this thing called the crucifixion. The Bible says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Look, folks, when the crucifixion came, Jesus died for us. You say, Jesus died for the whole world, but I don't think you understand it. Jesus died for every one of us as an individual. I believe this. Had Mia been the only person on the face of the earth, Mia, Jesus Christ would have died for you. And I'm just sure of that. Amber, had you been the only one on the face of the earth, God would have died for you. And Susan, had you been the only one on the face of the earth, God would have died for you. Rick, if you had been the only one on the face of the earth, God probably wouldn't have done a thing. God would have died for you. You might say, for God so loved the world, but the world is all put together in one thought for you. But with God, it was individuals. God died for you, and 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 God died for you. It was very personal. Very personal. And Paul said, don't be ashamed of that. He said, stand up for that. You do not have to apologize for that. Paul is, he's telling us the world will rob you. The world's a crook and it's like a criminal. And it'll try to rob you of right. Thank God for the songs like, alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light. Preachers need not forget that Jesus Christ died on a cross. And it was a bloody massacre what He went through for me and for you. The crucifixion brings hope and it brings us heaven. The crucifixion is an innocent God providing pardon to a bunch of guilty people. Because of the crucifixion and the resurrection, you and I have victory in our lives. And Paul said, I know what took place when Jesus was crucified, and I plan to make a big deal about it. See, I think the crucifixion came, and people were saying, they said that the King of the Jews has been put to death. And there were some people that were apologetic, saying, now, we're not trying to cause any waves about this thing. We're not trying to cause any grief about this thing. And we're very sorry if people are offended that this thing happened and Jesus got crucified. And Paul said, wait a minute, we're not sorry about this. We're going to take a stand and we're going to let people know that was our God, that was Jesus, that was the King of the Jews, that was the Savior, that was the Messiah, and they crucified Him. And that crucifixion was the prediction of the coming Messiah, and that is what's going to give us heaven. He said, we cannot apologize for that. And folks, everywhere, you'll go to churches and they'll get up and they'll give little speeches and ditties, and they'll replace the preaching of the cross with a play, and replace the preaching of the cross with a song and dance. You can't ever replace the preaching of the cross and the preaching of the gospel with any entertainment. And so the Apostle Paul said, and that you heard how he put it, he said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The crucifixion, he was making a big deal out of it. But he didn't stop there. Listen, he said, the second point of the sermon, it says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the first point. It says, by whom the world is crucified unto me. Paul said, I watched my God crucified to give salvation. He said, you know what? He said, I want you to know there's another crucifixion that ought to take place. And it ought to be that I ought to be crucifying the world in my life. I ought to be crucifying the world. Now, what is crucify? It put to death. Folks, not only should you and I be clinging to the crucifixion that gave us life, we should have learned from that crucifixion that death should be something that we should want in regard to the world's influence in our life. He said, the world crucified unto me. That's the world's word he used. The world crucified unto me. Paul had made the decision that the cross or the crucifixion of Jesus was to be the foundation of his thinking. Now he's going to crucify the world so the world does not control his life. He said the world should be crucified. Hey, let me ask you something. Do you need to put some worldly things to death in your life? Are there things in your life that ought to be nailed to a cross and put to death? How much influence have you allowed the world to have over you? See, we see the cross as an act of crucifixion, and it is. Paul's saying, you better be careful. This old wicked world, it needs to be put to death. Don't let it influence you. You know that the world will be judged. The Bible says in John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast down. There's coming a day when the world won't be so cocky. There's coming a day when the world is going to be put in its place. But folks, be careful now. We need to crucify some things in our life. Put those things to death in our lives. You know, the world's reasoning, it needs to be put to death in our life. Crucify some of that worldly reasoning. You say, what do you mean by that? It's like this. The world says, well, if it feels good, do it. You ought to crucify that thought. Crucify that philosophy. Yet that ought to be put to death in your thinking. What's the world's reasoning? Well, it's every man for himself. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach it's every man for himself. The Bible doesn't teach if it feels good, do it. What should happen? We should crucify that attitude that it's every man for himself. The Bible's very clear. You and I, we're to be serving others. And if it's every man for something, it's every man for Jesus, not every man for himself. We ought to crucify that reasoning, that worldly philosophy, that worldly thinking. Don't get even, get ahead. That's the way the world thinks. Now, first of all, the Bible makes it very, very clear that you and I should not let things control us, but let Jesus control us. But the world's reasoning ought to be crucified. Not only that, the world's teachings, they ought to be crucified. They ought to be crucified. You know, the world says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you will die. Now, this world is not all about eating, drinking, and being merry. It's all about Jesus Christ and how we're to live for Him. Hey, you know how the world teaches? It says, if you don't take care of old number one, who's going to take care of you? Do you know that's in direct opposition to what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches that we're to be serving one another. We're to be helpful to one another. Oh, what happens, though? The world creeps into our life, and it becomes strong. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Then Paul said, and I am going to crucify the world in my life. I want to put some things to death in my life. I'm going to make sure that I crucify the world's reasoning. I'm going to make sure I crucify the world's teaching. I tell you something, folks. The humanistic philosophies of our day are rampant. They're everywhere. It's all about me, mine, how I see it, what I think about it. And you listen to me, folks. Today, they're trying to sell us on this thing of there are no absolutes. There's no right and there's no wrong. Well, I've got news for you. According to the old black book called the King James Bible, there is a right and there is a wrong. And you can try to reason it away all you want. But what you really need to do is there ought to be a crucifixion going on at your house. You say, what crucifixion? Not the crucifixion of Jesus. That's already cared for. We ought to crucify the world and put to death that reasoning and that teaching that is of this world. Be careful. Be careful of the world's entertainments. Be careful. Listen, you show me the music you listen to, I'll show you your Christianity. There's no doubt about that. There are people in here, you're rebellious right now, you're rebellious, and your music is rebellious. The entertainments of the world. Hey, no wonder, and I don't know if this is still popular out there on television, but they used to have a show called Desperate Housewives. I'll tell you something. We've got desperation in our homes. It's very, very sad the way things are handled and the ignoring of spiritual guidelines in our homes today. Folks, we ought to crucify the world in our lives. Crucify their reasonings. Crucify the teachings of the world. Crucify those entertainments that get us away from God. Now, it's a sad thing today, but we've got a Las Vegas mentality, an MTV mentality. Anything goes. Boy, the filth and the things that are shot from Hollywood toward us. Folks, I got to tell you, there needs to be a revival, even among God's people, in regard to this, the filth of pornography and the trash that's being brought into people's homes. And it doesn't matter to me if you're a 10-year-old or a 100-year-old, you should not be looking at pornography. And there needs to be a crucifixion of some stuff that's being brought into your mind. And you know, I never thought I'd say this. I love technology and what it can do for you, but I hate technology on what it can do to you. If you've got internet access on your telephone or on your iPad or whatever pad you use, if you've got it, but you're using it and you're using it to hide and to sneak and to do bad things, you ought to just get rid of your technology. You may not say amen to that, but I'm going to tell you ought to get rid of it. If you can't handle that telephone and keep your heart clean and pure, if you're looking at filthy pictures and doing things you should not, get rid of your phone. You say, well, boy, you, what are you yelling about? You can go up the road and you can find some preacher that won't say things like that. That's fine with me, but I'm obligated to tell you the difference between right and wrong. If you're looking at trash on your phone because you have internet access and you're doing it at home or you're doing it with your iPad, it's time for some crucifying to go on. Jesus Christ was crucified. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that. And then Paul said, and I'm going to crucify some things in my life. There's some things that's got to be crucified from our lives. Don't let the world determine how you dress, how you talk, where you go. Don't seek its honors. You know, you realize that when it came time, there was a man that hung during the crucifixion time by the name of Barabbas. Barabbas was hanging there, and you've heard the story. So they were talking about Jesus and Barabbas. And someone said, let Barabbas grow, we'll crucify Jesus. Now, I thank God Jesus was crucified. But, you know, the truth of it is that the innocent one was Jesus Christ. And there were people saying, oh, you're crucifying the wrong one. No, Jesus was going to be crucified. He wanted to be crucified. Thank God that he was. But Barabbas was guilty. And folks, I thank God Jesus was crucified, but I believe that you and I, the world is guilty, and we're not to be like the world, and we ought to crucify, put to death the world in your life. It's too bad. I don't know how much people listen to the radio anymore. But if you can't control your radio, tear it out of your car. You say, I didn't mean that. You know, what's the big deal? Well, your Christianity's pathetic. It's no wonder it's not a big deal to you. Separation from the world's not a big deal to you. You say, well, I'm not as bad as some. You're not to be comparing yourself to some. You're to compare yourself to Jesus Christ. Jesus was crucified. I'm all for that. But I'll tell you this. I'm also for this thing that Paul went on to say, but I wanted to see the world crucified. I want to see the world put to death. What behavior in your life needs to be crucified? What behavior in your life ought to be put to death? There's somebody in this room, you ought to put some sin that you're guilty of in a casket today and bury it. It ought to be nailed to a cross. Your self-centeredness, whatever it is, put 6 foot under. Have a funeral service for it. Shoot it down. Nail it down. But don't let the world destroy you. There's three crucifixions mentioned in this passage of Scripture. It said that God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the crucifixion of Jesus. Big deal. Paul went on to say, by whom the world is crucified unto me. He said, now that I've got Jesus as my Savior, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to be like the world. I'm in the process of putting the world to death in my life. And we ought to be a better Christian today than what we were yesterday. And we ought to be a better Christian this week than what we were last week. And some of you, what you struggle with, you're just backslidden. You're away from God. You need to start putting some things to death. Like Paul, he said, by whom the world is crucified unto me. I want to put the world to death. But he didn't stop there. He said, thirdly, and I unto the world. So there's the crucifixion of Jesus. There's the crucifixion of the world. Then he said, of who I am to be crucified. Galatians 6:14. As a believer, I'm to be crucified. Dave, let's see if I can get this thing to come on. I am to be crucified. He said, I am crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know, folks, we need the crucified one, Jesus. We need to be crucified to the world. But I'll tell you what will help some. You need to crucify you. You say, what do you mean by that? You better start putting your pride down and lift Jesus up. You had better humble yourself, and you better realize Jesus deserves first place in your life. Jesus deserves first place in your life at work. Jesus deserves first place in your life at play. Jesus deserves first place in your life at home. Jesus. You see, the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Most of our problems are pride problems. We exalt ourselves. Paul said, I need to be crucified. He said, thank God for the crucified one. I'll stand for him, and I'm going to crucify the world. I want to die to that world. But he is now saying, and I need to be crucified. He's talking about, I need to put me down and lift Jesus up. I need to make sure that I don't do what I want to do, but I do what God wants me to do. I've got to make sure I don't go where I want to go, but I go where God wants me to go. I've got to make sure that I don't think what I want to think, but I think what God wants me to think. I've got to make sure I say what God wants me to say, not what I want to say. I've got to make sure that my decisions are not my decisions, but they're God's decisions. The Apostle Paul said, I thank God he died for me. I'm going to try to get the world out of my life and put it to death. But my main problem is I've got to keep me under control. I've got to get me to submit. I've got to get me on board with God. I've got to push me down. I'll tell you what, folks, the biggest problems I've ever had in my life came as a result of me. Me. There might be a Christian or two in this room that Christianity is a little bit new to you, but to everybody else, the problem is not that you don't know the difference between right and wrong. The problem is you choose to do what you want to do. You go where you want to go. You dress the way you want to dress. You act the way you want to act. You've got a will for your life already picked out, and you don't care what anybody else says, including God. Paul said, thank God for the crucifixion. Crucify the world, he said. But I got to get me under control. I need to push me down. What's he talking about? Selfishness, self-centeredness, and pride. I want to warn you, pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. He said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by my faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you're faithfully living like Jesus, this world, they're gonna want to crucify you. But I've got to tell you something, folks. We need to make sure that we keep our flesh dead. We keep our flesh pressed down, and we're exalting the Spirit, and we're exalting the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. You know, I think the biggest problem I've had in my whole life is not, you know, we want to blame everybody and everything under the sun. It's got to be my mom. It's got to be my dad. It's got to be my husband. It's got to be my wife. It's got to be my brother. It's got to be my sister. It's got to be somebody. Let me make it clear. It's got to be you. It's got to be me. I'm going to give answer to God for me. You're going to give answer to God for you. And Paul, I love what he said in one verse. Three crucifixions. Let's uplift Jesus. The crucifixion that he went through. Let's crucify the world. And then he said, I've got to crucify me. I got to keep me dead. I got to keep me from messing up my life. I got to keep me from thinking wrong. The average Christian thinks they're in the will of God as long as they're not doing anything to get in trouble. There's far more to it than that. There's scriptural guidelines and truths. The average Christian wants to pick the will of God for their life. Here, God, let me do what I want. And you know what, God? I'll do some things you want me to do, but let me do predominantly what I want. That's not the will of God. The will of God is, God, I don't have a will but yours. I don't have a will. It's your will. That's what Paul meant when he said, I'm crucified with Christ. There was a crucifixion. The world will look at us and think we're weird and everything else. But folks, don't be ashamed of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of crucifying the world in your life. And don't be ashamed. You say, well, what do you want me to do? You just want me to be a puppet to Jesus? Yes. Safest thing you could ever do. Yeah, but if I go where God wants me to go, say what God wants me to say, and if I be what God wants me to be, what am I? A Christian? A Christian? Three crucifixions, all wrapped up in one. If you look to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and you say, that's it, that's my God, I got saved as a result. That crucifixion. He died for me. He was buried for me. He was resurrected for me. Boy, that is exactly what I cling to. I'm a born-again Christian. Okay? You got saved. Paul said, now, you need to get the world out of your life. You're gonna stop letting the world be your primary influence. Crucify the world. Then he said, you're going to have to keep you at bay. You're going to have to keep you under control. You are going to have to humble you. I think that's probably part of the problem that he was facing. These people, their pride had crept into things. As a result of it, they were virtually ashamed of the crucifixion or be associated with the physical crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And there's a reason why Paul brought up the second crucifixion was crucifixion of the world. Probably these very same people, they were struggling with being like the world. You know what? If somebody said, hey, where are you going? The people in this day, they didn't want to admit they were going to church, and they didn't want to admit they were old-time religion, and they didn't want to admit that they carried a Bible around. They didn't want to admit that. What had happened? Their pride had gotten to them. And Paul said, I am not going to glory in anything but the crucifixion. The crucifixion of Jesus, the crucifixion of the world, and I don't want to glory in me. I want to glory in Him. So I must keep my pride under control. I'll warn you, if you hear preaching that is pointed and pure on the subject of pride, and you don't think it applies to you, you're in deeper than you realize. You're in deeper than you realize. It doesn't take a whole lot of preaching on pride to prick the conscience of a pure Christian. If you sit there and you say, yeah, preacher, I got to work on this pride thing, you're probably closer to getting a good relationship with God than what you understand. But if you sit there and say, well, that doesn't apply to me, doesn't apply to my situation, doesn't apply to what I am, you are in trouble. You are in denial. And proud people are in denial that they're proud. You know what they say? Find an alcoholic. You know what they won't do? They won't admit they're an alcoholic. And you find someone that is addicted to themselves, addicted to their own pride, addicted to their own way, addicted to their thinking and their logic and their philosophy. And you say, you just won't listen to anybody. You just won't let anybody guide you. You know it all. No, I don't. I'm sincere. I know what I'm doing. That is someone that is drowning in their own pride. We ought to all be under conviction. You say, well, I am now. Yeah, you are now because I just told you you had to be. Now, in your mind, your reasoning, you're saying, you know what? Okay. It does bother me. I had to convince you to be bothered? You can fake the preacher out, but you can't fake God out. You might even have a hard time faking a preacher out. Say, well, we got a dumb preacher. I know, I'm my own preacher. Thank God for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Not because of what he suffered, but because of what it meant. Don't ever be ashamed of it. I don't want to go to a church that doesn't talk about the blood. I don't want to go to a church that doesn't talk about Calvary. Hey, I don't want to go to a church that the sunrise service is not all about the resurrection of the crucified one and the blood that he shed. I don't want to go to a church like that. But not only that, I don't want to go to a church where the world is accepted and worldliness is the norm. We're to come out of the world. We're not to be like the world. You ought to be less like the world than you've ever been. And in every aspect of your life. Because we're crucifying that world. You say, what's the key to that? Crucify yourself. Die to yourself. Die to what you want, what you think, where you want to go, what your opinion is, what you've got to have, what you demand. And you just say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by my faith in the Son of God, which loved me and gave himself for me. That is the crucified life. When I was reading Galatians 6, verse 14, it just jumped off the page at me. I said, wait, three crucifixions, all in one verse. If you've never been saved, let the crucified one save you. In a moment, we'll pull this curtain back, and you'll see someone get baptized. They're going to get baptized because they realize Jesus Christ was crucified and risen again. And that's part of what baptism helps us to say on the outside, that we accepted the crucified, risen one on the inside. I hope somehow you'll be reminded of the crucifixions. Not the crucifixion, the crucifixions. Jesus, the world, and self. Those will make you a better Christian. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact that you would go to heaven? Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I do not know that I'm born again. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. How many of you could raise your hand and say, I have been saved. I know it for a fact. If I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Lots of hands. If you could not raise your hand, you may put those hands down. If you could not raise your hand, you need to get born again. In a second, we're going to have an altar call. In a moment, the pianist will begin to play. In a moment, we'll all stand. And if you've never been born again, we welcome you to come. If you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again if you need to be saved. Who here needs to crucify the world some in your life? You say there's some the world's influence has gotten into my life some, and I need to get some crucifying done. I need to put some things to death in my life. Has God spoken to your heart in that aspect? Would you let God see your hand and say, yeah, there's some world that's crept into my life, my thinking, the way I behaved. Put those hands down. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Would someone say, you know, preacher, I let my pride get out of control. I know better than the pastor. I know better than my mom. I know better than my dad. I know better than my husband. I know better. I know better than so many. You might want to be careful. Paul said, I need to crucify me because my pride gets me into trouble. Who would say, I do need to work on the pride issue some? Would you let God see your hand? Amen. We're going to have an altar call. Don't let anything stop you from using. Don't let your pride stop you from using the altar. If you need to come up here for a moment, get on your knees and say, God, help me. I want to crucify the world. I want to crucify my pride. Let's not be ashamed of the crucifixions, plural, of the Christian life. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? If you do, why don't you come? You let the world get into your life a little bit much. You need to come and say, God, I need to put something to death in my life. Do you need a moment at the altar? I think most everybody here would claim the crucifixion of Jesus Christ as an event that changed your eternity. But wait a minute, there's more than that crucifixion. How about the crucifixion of the world in your life? The crucifixion of the world in your life. What's in your life that shouldn't be and it ought to be put to death? And how about the crucifixion of one's pride? Your pride will destroy you. And remember, the will of God is not just that you're not doing anything necessarily bad. The will of God is far bigger than that. He said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, as he sacrificed himself." Hey, and I'll tell you, if he's willing to be sacrificed or crucified for us, we ought to be willing to crucify ourselves for him. This is the last time through the song, and we'll be on our way.